Today on Real Radio.
We need to be changed. We need to have that completely made new. And the Bible says it happens when you come into that relationship with Christ, in Christ, where you open up your life and you say, Jesus, I'm done with this religious stuff. I'm done with trying to be good.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, Paul uses the term reconcile four times as he describes the new life we believers now have in our Creator. This is the well-known passage that reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his series simply called Get a Life.
By raising your hand, you agree with me. In the past tense, Jesus Christ has changed my life. And we'll talk about this. This is very serious stuff. If it gets too heavy today, can you remember this? I'm smiling at you.
It doesn't feel like you're smiling. I'm smiling at you.
Remember that. If you start to get a little bit of a sting, I'm smiling at you. Why? Because what we want to be very careful about is what Paul is teaching, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about, is our reality. Look at verse 17, one of the most beloved scriptures in all of the Bible. Therefore, if anyone, who, church, who?
Anyone.
That is everyone, anyone, how about you? If you are in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Do you know we could spend a month teaching on this message or this verse every day of the week? I'm sure of it. It should be, and it could be, a great verse of encouragement, and it should be. It also needs to be a verse, as it is today for us, a verse that searches us to confirm if we are really, really a new creation in Christ or not. And what does it mean to be a new creation? Well, number one, mark it down. I'm very happy about this. The Bible announces to us that he's done this by overpowering our former legacy or inheritance. Legacy or inheritance. If you've had a mother or a father or an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or a grandpa or a caretaker, someone, in this life, someone, some system at least has put or placed an influence into your life. No matter how good, no matter how bad, you and I have come to the point of hearing the gospel having a former legacy or inheritance. Don't raise your hand. But if you grew up in an alcoholic home, in the home of those who deal with problems, deal with life drinking, and at some point in time, you began to pick up the bottle, you began to drink. One of the great reasons why you do that or you did that was because you learned by response behavior, this is how I deal with trouble. Or when things are tough, I see, now a child doesn't process this verbally, but they process it like on a chalkboard. They see mom and dad deal with troubles by yelling and screaming, or by drinking, or by doing drugs, or by fighting. That child is being written upon, like on a chalkboard. And when their out of control moment comes, at some point in their life, they will perceive, this is out of control. They could be 13. They could be 17. They could be 25. I can't take it anymore. As much as they would like to deny that kind of answer, they'll reach for it. Why? Because it is in the exposure of how you were brought up. It's very, very powerful, very, very important. Jesus Christ in salvation, mark it, my friend, liberates us from that legacy that we were brought up in this world with. This is the power of the gospel. How many of you, I don't know if you know this, but some of the oldies like me will know this, the Scofield Reference Bible, made world history, amazing Bible. Scofield himself, he was an alcoholic, got converted,
God changed his life. You mean a guy who published the Scofield Study Bible was an alcoholic? That's right, he was an alcoholic. What were you when Jesus met you? You see what I'm saying? What were you? Well, I wasn't one of those. Well, what were you?
Because you know what's almost more dangerous is the person, and listen, Jesus can conquer this too, is the person who thinks, well, I'm so fantastic, I'm so good. That danger, that's a dangerous area of pride. But all of us, do we not agree, all of us needed Christ to save us from our sins, from that practice that's within us from our earliest? We've got a fallen nature, and then when we see things going on in life, we'll adopt those things, and we might have a cycle. Well, you know what? I come from a long line of fill in the blank. You may think, well, man, I don't want to have kids because if I had kids, this kid's going to be the fifth generation of nincompoops. No. The cycle is broken when Jesus Christ is introduced to that circuit, and he, like a switch, breaks it off. That is an awesome power. He overpowers our legacy so that we're no longer the same people. When we come to Christ and the power and the saving power of the gospel, that cycle breaks. And now you've got weaponry. You've got armament to fight the old you. You become a brand new person. And that former life is broken, that former legacy. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, will you circle that word in? This is a great, great thing. We need to start saying this, church. In the 21st century, we need to stop asking people, do you believe in God? Everybody believes in God. Forget about it. Stop asking people that question. It's generic. You go down the street here where a group of people worship about 10,000 gods and ask them, do you believe in God? They're going to say, well, which one are you talking about right now? So forget that. And then even listen, the term born again is being all changed these days. Born again this, born again that. Forbes magazine talked about the born again Chinese and their economic revolution. Born again. Are you born again? Born again. People on TV make, oh, we're born again. Forget the word born again anymore, even though you have to be born again. Born from above, the word means. How about this word right here? It's amazing. And it's absolute truth. Are you in Christ? I have, you know those Russian Matryoshka dolls? Nesting dolls. One fits inside another, fits inside another, fits inside another. Are you in Christ? To be in Christ is that what's on the outside is seen, but what's on the inside is not. If you're in Christ, Christ is seen, you are not. It's the power of His gospel. It's the Holy Spirit's power that will live Christianity out through you. Listen, if you're in Christ, this is the key to Christianity. Can I put it to you this way? Don't try to reform yourself. Now, Reformation's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. We're all here today, by the way, because of the Reformation period, right? Martin Luther and those theologians, as they began to read the Bible for themselves, they were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they said, look, we as priests, we don't agree with what we're doing here. We've kept everything inside the church, and the church is controlling people. And Luther said, people need to read the Bible on their own. Let's get the Bible out for everyone to read. And the organized church didn't want that to happen because people would find their independence in Christ. See, listen, religion can control people. Not good. Relationship liberates you. And Luther saw that. Tyndale and Wycliffe and others saw the power of every human being able to read the Bible for themselves and let God speak to them. So, in a sense, Reformation's good because the church which already existed needed to be reformed, meaning getting back to the Bible. Are you with me, everybody? Okay, that doesn't work when it comes to you and I reforming ourselves. We raise our right hand, we make a pledge, it's a New Year's resolution, or, the fortune cookie says so, or it's just a doggone good idea. I'm going to cut back on carbs, and we're going to make this resolution. And, you know, for me, I'm speaking from experience here just recently. I've really been eating really good for a long time and being careful about what I eat. And I don't know how it exactly happened, but a bag of barbecued Lay's potato chips made it into our house. And even when we had some friends over, and I think they might have brought it, but I said, please take these with you. And you go, no, it's okay. No, I said, please take them. No, it's okay. So now they're in the drawer, and I know they're in the drawer. I know they're in the drawer. And about 3 days ago, I walked by, and I could have sworn there was a little voice. I'm in here. Open the drawer. And I didn't do it. And the thought process was, that's not good for me. I'm going to regret it after I do it. Not going to go there. So I went, and I got an ice-cold glass of milk, which is very normal for me. And then I sat there, and I held that milk, and I'm thinking. Right? And I just began to fall apart. And chip after chip after chip. And my hands, my fingers now were stained that orange rust color. I mean, I was on a binge, man. And then it's never worth it because halfway through it's like, oh man, but it's salty. Oh, look at this salt. And then you know, and, oh, I'm going to pay for this later. And then you're all done. It's like, oh man. And then you bear the guilt. I had no power to fight that because, listen, I was trying to reform myself regarding my pledge to eat right. A lot of people do Christianity like that. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to buy a Bible. I'm going to put it right here so I can't even get it in my car without having to step over it. It's going to make me, and I'm going to do this. And that's your thing. If you're stopped and interviewed for the moment, we would ask you, what are you doing? And you're saying, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to do it. I'm going to reform myself. I want all of you in the hearing of my voice to take that and throw that out the window. Because that's not Christianity. The world is full of it and it doesn't work. It will never work. It's never worked. It will never work. It's a work of the flesh. In fact, it's the most dangerous work of the flesh because it's draped in religiosity. And we go all through the effort of doing these things and then we ask God to bless it. And he won't do it. And some of you are tired and worn out and you're beaten down by your version of Christianity. And you want to give up. And I want to encourage you today that, number one, God breaks us from a legacy, even if it's that of religion. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Think of that for a moment. Are you a Christian? You might say yes. Somebody might say, I'm not sure. Somebody might say, I want to be. Jesus said, if you want to come to me, my Father has put that in you. Isn't that an amazing thing? Don't raise your hand, but do you want more of Christ or do you want Christ? God is working in your life. He's at work and he wants to change the legacy, the heritage of who you once were and give you a brand new spiritual DNA. And that is a wonderful thing. Now, listen, before we move on, in Psalm, I'm going to give you some verses. In Psalm 51:5, David talks about this need of ours to be made new. When he said, surely I was sinful at birth. I said, what, really? Are you kidding me? Well, wait, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. What is David talking about? What do you mean you were sinful from birth? What does that mean? Did he come out cursing, swinging at the doctor, smoking a cigar? You know, was David born with a martini in his hand? What is he talking about? He's talking about that thing within us, that nature to sin against God. We need to be changed. We need to have that completely made new. And the Bible says it happens when you come into that relationship with Christ. In Christ, where you open up your life and you say, Jesus, I'm done with this religious stuff. I'm done with trying to be good. I'm done trying to do it on my own. By the end of the day, I can't take my Christianity anymore. And you go to sleep and you get renewed enough to start it again. That's not how God wants you to live. That's not Christianity. Listen. The world right now, but it's biblically accurate, it's biblically true, the world right now hates Christianity and hates Christians and hates the Bible. That's prophetic. The Bible said this would happen in the last days. That's okay. The thing is this, true Christianity, stop and look what it's done. The world is angry at false Christianity. They've seen enough of it. But listen, the world benefits every moment from true Christianity. universities, hospitals, inventions, care, love, concern, laws, governments, blessings, biblical Christianity. It's very effective, it's very true, very powerful, it's undeniable. That has all come from people being in Christ, and the beautiful thing is those things, like fruit, come forth. And maybe today you're striving and struggling to make your, quote, Christianity matter. And you wonder why people around you, other Christians, are very happy, very blessed, very excited, but you're not. Dear friend, listen, it's time for you to quit. Quit looking to yourself. Quit trusting in yourself. Stop it. And let the Lord just simply pray this. Can you do this? Lord, I'm done. I'm tired. I quit. I've misunderstood grace. I've misunderstood your gospel. I keep trying to reform myself. Lord, I'm here now. I want your transformation. Not reform, not reformation, transformation. Radicalize my life. Jesus, I can't do it. Some of the greatest victories are on the other side of the prayer. I can't do this. Jesus, you do it through my life. And God will go to work. If you are in Christ and Christ is in you, that's that relationship of salvation, and God will use you. Listen, when I say God will use you, your Christianity should be dynamic. You should be, at the end of the day, joyfully, happily ready for bed. Because God has used you in such ways at your work, in the community, with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with your world that you live in, that as a Christian, because God is now doing it through you, you may have to go to sleep to get some rest, but it's all out of joy. It's like if you had a choice, you wouldn't go to sleep. For some of you, that makes some sense. God, you're amazing. God, you're awesome. I guess in a word of Christianity, if your Christianity is boring, then you're doing it wrong. And if it doesn't bring you joy, then something's very wrong. The Christian should be full of joy. Think of that. Evaluate yourself right now. The second thing is this. Thank God he has overpowered our former passions. Now, look, I have to be careful when I mention those things because your mind goes, former passions, what could that be? Oh! Yep, I know, I understand that. Isn't it bizarre? Look, when he says in verse 17, he is a new creation, I want you to mark that down. New creation. Keep this in mind. Number one, do you remember how God spoke the physical universe into existence? How did he do it? With his word. God spoke and it was there. By the way, Bible scholars, students in here, what did God use by the way of material resources to create the universe? Anybody? That young lady back there wins the prize. Bara. In Hebrew, zip, nada, nothing. When God created all that there is, he did it from the resources of nothing. That's power. You know, are you going to go work on your house today? Not unless you go to Lowe's. Why? Because you've got to get something externally that exists before you can fix your plumbing, right? You've got to be able to do that stop first to pick up something to do the other. Man, as brilliant as man is, and with the most wonderful things that man has created, we've only created stuff from things that are available. That's a fact. Oh, what about the computer? Plastics, resins, wiring, things that existed. God creates things out of nothing. Now, that's very exciting because what do you think? Listen, honestly, do you think you are less important right now? Or I should say, do you think Jupiter is more important to God than you are? Jupiter's not made in his image. Tonight, the moon is going to be shining almost like the sun tonight. Watch it tonight. It's going to be so brilliant tonight. Go out in your backyard or go take a walk. Boom, the moon is shining. You think God is communicating, yelling, screaming, reaching out, loving on the moon? No, but he is you. Jesus didn't die on the cross to fill in the holes on the moon. Jesus died on the cross to take away the sins of my life. If he spoke the physical universe into existence by his great power, he uses the word of God to speak into you a brand new creation. That by far is more powerful than establishing the Milky Way or anything else. Do you believe that God has the power to do that? The Bible says he does, and that he's done this. So then we come up against, listen, these former passions. Now, the Bible says, remember, we're born spiritually dead. But when we come to Christ, that old man dies. We become alive to Christ, but the old past is now dead. Okay? That's what the Bible says. That's what the book of Romans is all about. And so, as we mentioned before recently, if you walked up to a dead man and slapped him and started yelling at him, what's he going to do? He's going to do nothing. He's dead. If the gospel is that thing slapping a dead man in the face, we wait according to the scripture. Will he respond? I'm speaking spiritually dead. I hope not, but there may be somebody here right now that's spiritually dead, and even right now you're saying, I don't like what I'm hearing, but it kind of sometimes makes some sense, and But the word goes out, and it begins to grab your mind. You start thinking, and it begins to affect you. And just in a matter of 50 minutes, sitting here begins to bring you to a state of consideration and contemplation that otherwise you wouldn't have been thinking. Now, once you become a Christian, watch this. When the world comes to us, the world, the old flesh, the former things, our former passions, we are now, according to the Bible, dead to that previous life. So, it says, though, listen, are you with me? When the old life comes to us and tempts, according to the technology of the Bible, when that comes, see, you hear that temptation in your head. The Bible says, reckon your old man to be dead. He's powerless. God, the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, has given you the power to put that old man back in his place. Because, you know, when you walk by, the potato chip starts talking. And the former passions may be the life that you lived, and that was your reason, man. And it will talk to you. And the Christian says, I don't want that anymore. Listen, one of the great signs of you being a true Christian is saying to that stuff, get out of here! Get away from me! That's called temptation. It's to be fought. We are now dead to that. That potato chip comes up and says, hey, slaps me in the face. Mm-mm, you can't feed a dead man. I'm dead to the things of the world. If that's true in my life as a Christian, then I need to remember today that God has overpowered our former passions.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called Get a Life. It's a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 19, where Paul explains that the true believer has been reconciled to the Father. Again, Get a Life is actually a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs, and you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.